So my name's Jim. I have a little bit of an accent, and I'm from Birmingham, and I hope it's not too strong though. I work at a church in Birmingham called Renewal Christian Centre. It's actually in a place called Solihull. I'm the associate pastor with a focus for youth and young adults. So anyone kind of up to the age of 30, 35 is my responsibility. And so that's kind of what I do. And you know, I mean, I know you've just cracked a joke, mate, but I did actually have some nice words to say about Sam, because although I do have the stories, there's not actually that many. Other than I think that you're incredibly blessed as a church and as a congregation to have someone like Sam and Suze actually work and minister with you, because they really are a fantastic couple. And Sam in particular, he said we live together, really godly guy, and was an inspiration to many at Bible College. And so you're very blessed as a congregation. And I think it's good to honour leadership, because it's very much in the... All right. Yeah, you're right, it is. Anyway, good night, see you later. You want me to preach now? Or is that, you can do if you want, yeah. I mean, I'm just ready to go, mate. I'm ready and waiting. You pray for me, though. You can pray if you normally do. However you do
it. I don't know, are we ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right, okay, here we go. Let's pray for Jim and pray for ourselves as well. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that Jim can be here tonight. And just the blessing it is that he's been able to make it down here and share. We just ask that you would that we would hear you speaking through him, and this would be just something that he can enjoy as well as he sees us growing in you and hears of what you're doing through his ministry. But pray for a general blessing on him now as well for all that he does in his role at his church and wherever else he may be. But thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would speak to us now. Help us to hear clearly. Amen.
Thanks. Can I just use this? Can I use this pulpit? Is that all right? Thank you. It's gone off. Oh, there we are. It's back on again. Lovely. Right then. So, it's very good to be here with you this evening. And, we as a church, you know, very much believe in really making an impact in the community. And we kind of always constantly ask ourselves the question that if our church was to close down, how quickly would the community notice that you aren't there, that you're not there any longer? And if it's a significant portion of time, then maybe we need to shake ourselves up and wake ourselves up and start being involved in the community in some way. We have a ministry called Helping Hands at our church, and which is, it's known actually in the town of Solihull as the fourth emergency service. And we kind of deliver food and clothing, and we used to do furniture as well, but it was just a monumental task to deliver that. So we just deliver food parcels, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was, you know, hundreds of thousands of food parcels that were delivered over the last kind of year. And it's great to be involved in the community in that way, serving people that need serving in that way. We do that's not an evangelistic outreach in any way. It's kind of, you know, we put a flyer of some sort in with the food. But other than that, it is just a helping hand in the name of Jesus. And if you'd like to know more, then great. If not, then no problem. I'm heading up something in July called Engage, which is, this year for us is our year of engaging, year of proclamation, year of reaching out of the four walls of the church. And kind of, I suppose, a climactic part of that year, this year for us, is this week at the end of July, where we're shutting everything in church, and for a whole week trying to get, well, we've got 500 people signed up at the moment from the church to be involved in community action. We'll be doing social action projects, just community transformation stuff, but as well really trying to encourage people to step out of their comfort zones. And so we're doing some quite raw street evangelism, where we're people just handing out tracts. We're doing some street performances with the, I'm getting all the teenagers involved, where we're doing dance performances, street drumming performances, where they kind of hit bins and pots and pans and create some noise in the town to get a crowd, do a dance performance, do a drama, and then armed loads of other people with flyers and different things about the church. And we're doing a family fun day at the end of the week, where we're praying and believing for 8,000 people to come through that family fun day. And it's just us as a church wanting to say, we're here, We love you, and let's celebrate life. I think that church is about life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came to give you life and life in abundance. And I think it's fantastic to see so many of the young people here tonight involved in the service. It's magnificent. But this week of Engage that we're doing is for everyone. So I've got kind of some of our more mature people in the church that are stepping out of their comfort zones. One couple, Arthur and Rita, are in their 70s. And they said, oh, Pastor, you know, we're just really encouraged by, we're ready and raring to go to get out there and tell people about Jesus, but we're a little bit nervous. But we believe God's leading us to step out of our comfort zone. So they're getting involved in the street evangelism team, as well as with some of my 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds that are all armed and ready to go. And, you know, we as a church believe that it is impossible to be filled biblically with the Holy Spirit and not be a witness. If you look in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and the apostles were waiting in the upper room, they were full of the Holy Spirit, and then instantly they started preaching, they started living out this Jesus life, and people became Christians. It is undeniable in the Bible. We cannot, as Christians, be full of the Holy Spirit and not be a witness. In your workplace, if you are a believer, you smell of Jesus. Not of Gucci, not of any other fragrance. You smell of Jesus. We cannot help it because he lives inside of us. The Bible says that Jesus wants to make our hearts his home, in some translations. And so it's kind of, it's impossible for us to be full of the Holy Spirit and not be a witness. So we're also doing prayer on the streets of this kind of week of mission, where we're trying to get people. We run a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night because we're a church that believes that God heals. And we've seen people just recently in this last week where there's one lady who has had MS for a fair while, and she came and got prayed for actually for a long time. And sometimes, you know, you need to keep going back. I'm sure there's a story in the Bible somewhere that talks about persistent prayer, where you just keep asking and keep asking and don't give up and don't give up. Keep praying, keep seeking God, keep asking God, and eventually we'll get there. And this lady kept praying, and just recently she went to the hospital and they said to the doctors, we can't find a trace of MS, you're totally better, however that's happened, and she's healed, which is fantastic. And so yeah, I think that deserves an amen of some sort, you know, I mean, yeah, it's pretty good to know that God's alive, okay? I was hoping that didn't fall on deaf ears then, good. And we also had a guy in our church who's he's a roofer by trade, 19 stone man of pure muscle, and no, he wishes it was, and lovely man, and he's a roofer, Cornelius is his name, and he fell off a roof and landed directly on his head. This is literally in the last 3 weeks. He's got kids, and he's been in hospital where they literally just last week, they said, we're going to turn off the life support machine. That's how bad it was. He's going to have brain damage, even if he comes round. Devastating stuff. And so at our prayer meeting on a Tuesday, we prayed for Cornelius. And, you know, sometimes God just, we don't really ever have an agenda, I suppose. We have a service running order, but we always kind of say, Lord, you know, just in case, whatever you want to do, then you do, because your kingdom come, your will be done. So we prayed, and kind of God just took over the meeting a little bit more than I suppose normally. Sometimes we have to let go of stuff. You know, we just have to go, all right, Lord, this is totally over to you. And we just heard yesterday that Cornelius is off the life support machine, and they've said there's not going to be a trace of brain damage, that he will make a complete recovery. So that's a miracle, yeah, I know. And, you know, but at the same time, I speak as someone whose nan died when I was 15 years old of cancer. And we don't know as a church why some people are healed and why others aren't. I've been to loads of stuff. I've seen blind people see, deaf people hear. We've had many people healed of cancer, particularly in our church, but yet at the same time, family members and close people in the church that haven't been healed, I don't know why. Sometimes things happen. I can give you a nice biblical response, but you know what? It doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it any better, because these things happen. I think that the best way that I can ever handle that sort of stuff is by knowing that ultimately God wants our love and our hearts unconditionally. And all I can testify about and say is that in those dark times, in those difficult times in life, that God is there. He's real. He's alive. He's living and active. And instead of running away from him and blaming him, run to him and allow these situations to make us better and not bitter. Because it's far easier to just get bitter, to not forgive, to not pray, to not seek God. And whenever anyone comes and sees me for counseling at our church, and you know, my first question is, how's your walk with God? How's your spiritual disciplines? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? Only because the bottom line is, if we don't eat, then we don't live. If we don't drink, we don't live. It's really simple stuff, but yet at the same time, if we could only get the simple stuff, which is incredibly profound, then maybe everything else would be, we'd see things differently. It's not that things would be easier or better. I don't want to paint some sort of name it and claim it prosperity gospel, but at the same time, God does want his people to prosper. We cannot get away from that. He wants us to be blessed. In fact, when he called Abraham, he said, you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And so God wants to bless us. Don't hide from that. Let's not be embarrassed about it. But at the same time, let's not cloak it in arrogance, but yet with humility. I'm kind of waffling a little bit, but I want to encourage you in God. He does heal. I haven't traveled 2.5 to 3 hours tonight to not declare the goodness of God. We have, the gospel is good news. And church, we carry it every single day, everywhere that we go. We have a saying in our church for our young people and young adults, Your school, your workplace, your family, your responsibility. Not my responsibility as your pastor. If they don't know Jesus, you're the best one to reach them, not me. Don't just invite them to a church so they can hear the gospel by someone that maybe talks about it or has read about it a little bit more. You are the best living example of Jesus Christ to the people that you encounter each and every day. And he has called each of us by name. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. I've seen young people that have invited their friends to church and it's gone well and it's, you know, it's just been magnificent. It's been difficult as well. I've seen adults that have started prayer meetings in their workplaces and God's just totally transformed what's happened. But it's taken them stepping out of their comfort zones to do something different, because if we keep doing what we've always done, we'll get what we've always got. And sometimes we've got to step out of our comfort zones to see God and trust in him, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Church, we exist for those that aren't here. We don't exist for a nice holy huddle. We don't exist for a nice prayer meeting, although that's good. I read in your church magazine leaflet that a lovely lady gave me as I walked in. It said, you have a prayer meeting coming up to pray for some missionaries in China. That's magnificent. We have missionaries in various different parts of the world, and we pray for them and support them. So that's a fantastic thing. But God is really gripping us at the moment for our hometown. In Solihull, there's 205 or 206,000 people. 3% of people in our hometown, that's about 6,000, go to church once a month on average. Once a month, 6,000 people. That means in my hometown, there is 194,000 people, if not more, that need to know about the gospel. So as much as I care about Africa, China, Japan, all these different places where we have missionaries and we bless them and pray for them, and that's a call of God in itself, we as a church are called to Solihull. You as a church are called to Walton, Lee Dale on Thames. If I've got that totally right. But this is why we're here. This is why we're here. So I wonder what the stats are for your hometown. I wonder what the stats are for here. How many people go to church? How many people need to know the gospel? And we need to minister the grace of God. So just for the next kind of 15 minutes before I finish up, it's Father's Day, which is fantastic. I want to just share a few thoughts about the Father heart of God. And because it's really, really powerful, incredibly significant, and very closely tied to my own walk with God as well, and my own story in God. My dad left when I was 3 years old, 4 years old, sorry, and he just kind of decided that he didn't really want to have the responsibility of having a child. And so I kind of wholeheartedly resonate with what our Prime Minister said today, regardless of political stance. The fact that he said that fathers that have completely shunned their children and don't want any responsibility for them should be treated with severity in our society, I think is magnificent. Because if you're... don't know how frank I can be in this church. I'm fairly frank in my home church. If you've got the responsibility to be able to sleep with someone and get someone pregnant and have a child, then you're responsible enough to be able to pay for them, look after them, be a dad, be a father. Don't walk away and don't shun your responsibility, because there's too many people that lack that strength and that courage and that commitment in our own society and church. It presents massive responsibility for the church of God as well, because we have responsibility to look after the fatherless. In our hometown, it's kind of about 50% now that live in single parent families, and that is a big deal for how young people are growing up, for how families are operating, for how single moms in church. And I've got a lot of respect for single parents, because my own mom worked a couple of jobs as well as various other things in trying to bring up me, and there was times where she went without food, all because a man didn't want to take up his responsibility. And that was hard for me as a young person, and because, you know, I wanted my dad there. My mom is really fantastic, and you know, she would do things that I think dads should do. She would play football with me in the garden, and but it just wasn't, you know, she was great. But the thing that my mom used was her size in comparison to me at the time as a child. And, you know, instead of actually tackling me, she would just bounce me with her bum across the across the garden, and which I got fairly frustrated at, and because I really wanted to play football properly. But she was doing her best, and she's absolutely wonderful. And so the Father heart of God is very closely linked with me in this respect. And when God called me, He said, "Jim, you know, you'll be a father of many," and I really believe that. And we have many young people in our church. There's about 200 teenagers every Friday night that come and worship God and come and seek God in various different ways, and the things that we do. And, you know, God's alive. He's not irrelevant to young people or to the elderly. He's here for each and every one of us. So I think the scripture that we'll look at tonight is very briefly Matthew chapter 6, and it's something that maybe many of us will know. It's the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at just a couple of words at the start of that, so you can have a look at it if you want. And but I shall just say them as well, where it says right at the very start, "Abba, Father." Abba, Father. Two simple words, but yet incredibly profound, incredibly powerful in the culture of the day. Was like a lightning bolt across the sky at night that we see, that just flashes. It's unmissable. You see that it lights up things around it, and actually is an incredibly beautiful thing. And so when Jesus said these words, "When you pray, pray, Abba, Father," this was a massive, massive deal for these Jewish people that were following Jesus, that were following their rabbi, their teacher, their Lord. These were incredibly powerful and profound words for these people that were listening to what Jesus was saying. And actually, that, I suppose, sometimes leads me to the simple question of, are we listening for what Jesus is saying? Are we really listening for what He's saying and what He wants us, who He wants us to become and what He wants us to do? And so he says these words, "Abba, Father." Abba, Father. I did actually meet my dad when I was 20, I think I was 22, it was when we were at university, and just one day I kind of woke up, and obviously as you do in the morning, and well, it depends, I suppose, some people get up in the afternoon, woke up and just looked in the mirror, and my hair at the time, I have none anymore, but at the time I did have hair, thank you Lord, and if it can grow back, please do it. And just looked in the mirror, and my hair was of such a state that it reminded me of the one photograph that I had or have seen of my dad when he was similar age to me. And at that moment in time, I just thought, you know what, I want to go and find my dad. I want to go and find him. And so I did. I called a close friend of mine at home and said, you know, would you come with me if I find him? And so I go and see him. He said, yeah. So I spoke to my mom and just said, would you mind if I go and find him? You know, this is a big deal. And she said, of course. So we tracked him down, and how I found him was a miracle in itself. And I haven't got time to go into all the details, but eventually tracked him down in Spain. And so called him and just said, hi, David, this is your son. He was like, oh, right. And so I said, you know, I'd really like to come and meet you. So booked a plane ticket, went out to meet him for a weekend, and it was funny, you know, as we got off the plane was delayed, they were there early, we, myself and my friend Alex, we walked out of the airport, as we walked out, I saw my dad mouth these words on a bench that I won't repeat in here, but words of shock, because it was the first time he'd seen his son since I was 4 years old, and so I kind of walked out, and suddenly I'm not really a nervous man at all, I'm fairly confident in various different ways. But this moment, I was kind of like, my goodness, okay, that is my dad. And walked out kind of, you know, you had that awkward moment of, do you go for the handshake? Do you go for the hug? Because we're, you know, we're blood relation. I went for the hug. He went for the handshake. So we did the hug shake and kind of ended up doing this. And it was kind of, you know, it was a really bizarre weekend. I didn't sleep the whole weekend. I tried loads of different things. I tried praying. I tried reading the Bible, but couldn't fall asleep, regardless of whatever hour it was. And so just awake the whole time. And there was this one moment, this conversation that we had. And, you know, he said, do you want to come out for a coffee? I said, yes. He said, well, James, is there anything that you want to say to me? I said, well, David, I couldn't call him dad. You know, dad's a very personal word. And I've only ever called God my dad. Only, that's never anyone else. And this word, Abba, is a very personal, intimate word to be calling God. And so I still don't call him dad, I call him David. And so I said, David, you know, I want you to know that I don't have any hatred or anger or hold anything against you. In fact, you know, I think that you were trying to make a decision at 22 years old that many people make. Maybe you were scared, nervous, I don't know what it was. You didn't want to take up your responsibility, but I don't know what it was. But I want you to know that I believe in Jesus. God's my dad, and it's all right, you know. And it was amazing to see the weight lift off his shoulders, because he thought I was going to lambast him with a whole bunch of anger and annoyance and questions. And I can honestly say, in my heart of hearts, it is what it is. He made a decision at 22, which I think was a bad one. I did rebuke him, because he said he had other children with his second wife, and you know, he walked away from them as well. And so I thought, you know, okay, one time I can accept. But then I kind of said some choice words to him of, have some bottle and grow some strength. You're supposed to be a man, David. You know, kids deserve a dad. But I realized in my journey of faith and with God that I needed to get my understanding of a father from God and not from our experience of a father on earth. So many of us in this room can come this evening with different understandings, different experiences of what a dad is, who a dad is, what they do. And actually, you know, I'd like to say, I understand that can be good, it can be bad. This is what we're going to look at tonight, is actually who God is as a father. The first thing here is Jesus says, when you pray, pray Abba, Father. And this was an incredibly intimate and personal word to address someone. And that's the first point I want to make, that God is an intimate God, that our Father is intimate, he's close, he's not far away. And I know this is really simple stuff, but if we can grasp it, and if we really lived it, then I think it would totally transform our lives. You know, the Bible is a dangerous book. You're praying for missionaries in China that unless they go to the state church in China, they're not allowed to read the Bible. They're not allowed to do church in certain ways, because the government knows that this book, the God of this book, totally changes lives. Totally changes, transforms who we are and what we do and how we live life and our approach to life. Completely radicalizes everything in the good way. I know some of those words have certain connotations these days, but I think you know how I mean them. God transforms us in a good way, and that's a very powerful thing. And only if we can get hold of how powerful that is, then maybe we wouldn't just turn to it once a week or once a month. Maybe we'd get it in us as part of our staple diet of life. And so, you know, this word Abba, very, very personal word. I don't have children. My girlfriend has a six-year-old daughter from a previous marriage. And, you know, I've always, if I had my own kids, I've always wanted them to call me Pops. And it's just kind of something that I've had in my heart. I don't want anyone else to call me that. I don't know why anyone would. That would be weird. You know, hey, Pops, who are you? But it's just like, it's what I actually called my granddad at times. Because it was, no one else called him that. And I've always wanted that. And this, for me, because it's personal, it's unique, it's, no one else says it. And this word, Abba, was what you would call someone in that culture, in that day, that was your dad. Like, they were close. It was a familiarity, but not a familiarity that breeds contempt, not a familiarity that was disrespectful. It was a respect of, I really love this person, and I can come to them knowing that they have only good in their heart of hearts towards me. And that's a very powerful thing, that when we pray, now this is profound in that day, because the Jewish people would, when they prayed, they would laud God with so many different names. When they prayed, they would pray certain Jewish prayers out of the Torah, first five books of the Bible. They would pray, they would say certain names, they would laud God with all these words of adoration and, oh Lord, God of hosts, Jehovah Jireh, but it would have been in Hebrew. And so they would have prayed all these, said all these, were ushered in the holy God of hosts and all these things and said their prayers. And so Jesus comes on the scene and totally removes all of that kind of, you know, introductory stuff and says, when you pray, pray, Abba, Father. When you pray, know that this is one that you approach who is intimate, who is close, who is personal, who is there. He's not distant, he's not far. He is right there with you. He's approachable. He's there. And so I would encourage you tonight, church, what is happening in your life where you think, is God really there? I want to say tonight, when you pray, Abba, Father, he is right there. I actually spoke to a gentleman just this morning at church before I headed off down here, and he said, oh, Pastor, you know, I just thank you so much that when you prayed for me the other week in communion, because there was things that were going on in my life that just really were not good. I was kind of flicking on the wrong channels, watching different things, and, you know, he's a good, godly man, and sometimes it's so easy to come to church and raise your hands at the right time, sing the songs. I once had a good friend who said, Jim, it's far easier to sing lies rather than say them to God. And I was actually thinking about it when we were singing some of the songs this evening. Some of those words are so powerful, so profound. That one Hillsong song, we don't sing it in our church, but just as I was reading the words, I can't remember them all, but the principles were that we'll remove everything that is in our way to be a light for you. It was like, we'll get rid of everything. Really? Will we really? Are we really ready to sing those words, to really live that out? Because that's not just a song that we're happy to sing in church. If we're really going to live this, it's a powerful thing. And so, you know, he said, oh, thank you so much for praying, because since you've prayed, I've not had a desire, I've not had a temptation to do some of these things anymore. The last few weeks, I've really been wanting to seek God. And I just said, well, brother, just keep going, you know, keep seeking God, keep going, my friend. And don't back down, because sin crouches at the door, waiting, ready for each and every one of us. The best thing that we can do is flee. Many times in the Bible is run. Don't wait, don't mess around, don't look, don't linger, don't kind of, oh well, let me just, you know, no, just get away, get in your prayer place, go and see some other Christians, call your small group leader, call your pastor, your reverend, whatever you want to call them in a church, you know, your friend, and call and say, you know, I need to pray. I said to him, you know, the Bible says that when you confess our sins to one another, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So God's intimate, he's there right with us. Also as well, I'd like to say this, that he's interested in what's happening in each and every one of our lives. He knows the amount of hairs on our head. It's far easier to count on some than it is on others. But he does. Every fine detail. Illnesses, successes, failures. And this is about a prayer. He's interested in the prayers that we pray. And sometimes we struggle with prayer when God's seemingly silent. I want to encourage you. Just keep waiting on God. When you don't know what to pray, just keep praying, Abba Father. Abba Father. Abba Father, you know that I need you. This is my business, my family, my marriage, what it is to be a father, to be a mother. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to help in this situation. I need your wisdom. You know, my family that aren't Christians, I need to, Lord, why isn't it? Why isn't it so? You know, I led my granddad to the Lord when he was 86 years old, just before he died. He was a Mason and quite high up in the Masons. And we for years, there was, my mom was praying for him and everything. And kind of, they had a little bit of a, you know, they would always face head on because my mom's so passionate about the gospel. You know, wherever she works, she's the one at Christmas time. She's buying Bibles for everyone. She's chatting with everyone. It's like, what, have you got someone for Christmas? A Jesus tape. Fair enough, mom, you go for it. She's brought so many people to church. And you know, what's great is we need to find new ways of communicating the gospel. And I'll give you an example. I was sat there when I had hair a few months back, last year, and I was getting my hair cut for the final time, and I was chatting with this guy who was my hairdresser, and we were just kind of chatting away, and he said, "So, you know, what do you do?" And actually, we kind of work in the same line of business. He was like, "What, you're a hairdresser?" I was like, no, I'm not a hairdresser, but we kind of work in the same kind of line. So, what do you mean? I said, "Well, you deal with people's outward appearance, and I kind of deal with the inside. I kind of try and deal with people's problems, I deal with people's eternity, essentially." He was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'm a Christian. I go to a church. I'm actually a minister at the church." And as I'm saying it, I'll be honest with you, I was feeling so cheesy. Thinking, oh my goodness, what am I saying? This is he going to just think that I am daft? And he went, "Jim, I have never thought about church like that. Never." He said, "Actually, when I was young, I used to go to church, but I didn't enjoy it. It was boring. It was boring. Man, how can church be boring? We communicate in Jesus. And sometimes we've got to get passionate. Well, a lot of the time we've got to get passionate about that because he's not dead, he's alive. Amen." And so, you know, we need to think a new way. So whatever your workplace is, whether you're a builder, whether you're working in an office, whether you're a lawyer, I don't know what people do, electrician, think of ways of using people's language to reach them for Jesus. Because that's going to help them understand. Our job isn't to just kind of recant loads of different Bible stories. And, well, have you heard the one about the lost sheep and the parable of the sower? I don't even understand that without reading a commentary. I've never thrown seed on the floor, and I've not done that, those things. But yet, I've got to find new ways of communicating with people about the gospel. So God's interested in everything that goes on in our lives. Interest. So when we pray, are we praying believing? Abba Father. When we pray in the name of Jesus, he will answer. But in those times of silence, don't get downcast. Don't get, you know, kind of despondent. But keep waiting. Abba Father. There was times where I would go and ask my mom for something in my case, and she would just be slow to answer. Sometimes she'd just say, "Wait, son. Just wait a few more weeks and then you can have it. Just wait." Wasn't a yes straight away. Also, as well, finally, I'd just like to say this. Abba Father, our God who is close and personal, is involved in each and every one of our lives, is intimate, is interested, and is involved. And that involvement, I hope I illustrated a little bit at the start. The people with this guy Cornelius, healed, put on the path of being able to be a father again. And church, I think regardless of what our earthly experience is of a dad, he is our Abba Father. God is our Abba Father. Now, please understand me. That's not to say that God is a specific gender. I don't want to get into all of that. God's a spirit. This prayer wasn't to put God in any sort of gender category. We can't. The scriptures in the Bible that talk about motherly attributes as well. He's eternal. We're temporal. To understand the divine is fairly much impossible without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to try and understand things in ways that we can understand. And so some of us can understand the role of what a father should be and what a mother should be. Neither is better than the other. We just have different roles. And that's a blessing. Actually, God is both of those together as spirit, as one. the triune being. It's impossible to it. So, you know, I'm not pushing any sort of agenda, all right? Just because it's not about that. It's understanding who God is. He's interested, intimate, and involved. So I want to ask you just a couple of questions as I end and I hand back to Sam. And, you know, my prayer tonight is that I hope that God has encouraged you. I hope that he's lifted our heads in some way, because I think that we should leave church with our heads held high, not in arrogance, but knowing that we've just heard the good news. And church, he is involved. He is intimate. He is interested in every area of life. Are we willing to allow him to be involved? So often we want to hold on to stuff. As much as God wants to be involved, at the same time, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way on us. He's not going to bash his way into our lives. We've got to allow God to be involved. We've got to trust in God, give some things to him and say, all right, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my agenda, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I reckon that was, you know, a really profound prayer. I mean, even when Jesus was going to the cross and he prayed, Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any way that you can take this cup from me, then so be it. But if not, your will be done. At a time where he knows he's going to be crucified, beaten, that he's going to be whipped. You know, all he knows that's going to happen. And at the same time, he's in that moment of intimacy with the Father where he's saying, Lord, if there's any way, I mean, he's sweating drops of blood. You know, this is an intense moment. And he's praying this prayer. And then he says, your will be done. What's the situation in your life where we need to allow God to be involved? Where we need to hand it over and say, Lord, I take my hands off it, whether it be my family becoming Christians, whether it be something that's, Lord, I can't make it happen, but Lord, I know, I trust in you, I know it's going to happen. I knew, God said to me, your granddad will become a Christian before he dies. I remember when I was 17 years old, and I sat there with him crying my eyes out, and he was on his way out in the next kind of few months. And he sat there and he said, son, what is it about your life that makes you who you are? And I sat at his feet because he had a weeping leg. And I used to try and change his bandages and I didn't enjoy it. I'll be honest with you. It was not nice. But he was my granddad. And you do stuff for your family, even if you don't like it. Honor your mother and father. That's what we do, regardless of age, you know. Some of my family friends own a care home and it's fantastic, a Christian one. They look after people. And unfortunately, some family members don't go and visit their parents that are in those places. And man, we should, regardless of what's happened. I said, Granddad, I just want to share a few words with you about Jesus. He totally stepped away from masonry in those final few months and it was, you know, at his funeral, I was able to stand there and just say, my granddad was a Christian. He believed in Jesus. He walked away from masonry. It's not a good thing. And all these guys are masons. As soon as I would go, I'd shake their hand. They'd say, oh, son, so you're going to be the masons? I said, no, I'm actually going to be a minister. And instantly they would just walk away. There was something in their eyes that they didn't connect with what it is to be a Christian, because the root of it, it's not good. And it was such a joy. But we've got to trust God with some of those things. Maybe step back a little bit and allow God to be God. Because it's out of our fervency and passion, sometimes we can end up taking things a step too far. God will deal with it. Just pray, seek God. Abba, Father, have your way. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He's involved, interested, and intimate. How are your intimacy levels with your Savior? How are your intimacy levels with Jesus? Maybe they're nowhere right now. If our prayer life was a reflection of our intimacy levels with Jesus, how would we be doing? Where would we be? Simple stuff. How many hours did we watch TV for at the weekend? And yet how many hours, how many minutes did we spend reading the Bible? And I'm not saying we all sit in our prayer closets all weekend and read the Bible, because I don't do that. I kind of like chilling out and watching a movie and watching the TV. I'm not, you know, I'm quite a fan of living life. I love doing things, you know. But at the same time, we need to have a little bit of a balance of, if we're going to be serious about this discipleship thing and following Jesus, he wants to be intimate. Think of the closest person in your life. How many things have you journeyed with? How many ways have you been involved in their life? You know them. You know how that makes their heart beat. How many situations have you been? How many holidays you've been on to together? How many conversations have you had? How many of the same books have you read? How many movies have you watched together? How much time have you invested in one another for that level of intimacy? It's the same of what we have to invest with God as well. And it's not spending, it's an investment. Because what we invest in God comes back to us over and over and over and over. I don't spend time with God in the morning. It's an investment because I know that when I do that in the day, it's just a good way of starting your day off, you know? So I want to encourage you, Abba Father. Abba Father. Let's pray and then I'll hand back to Sam. Father, we just want to thank you for all that you are. Love you. You're just the Abba Father. That's who you are. And Lord, I just pray now that, Father, may you help us as Christians to address our intimacy levels. And Father, if we're not there, if we're not a believer, then tonight, Lord, I pray, may we know that we can have an intimate relationship with you. Or maybe if we are Christians, but we're just kind of doing our own thing, we're living our own life, we don't really have that intimate connection with you. And it's not about a feeling or an emotion. This is about a commitment. This is about an intimacy that we choose to love you as you choose and have chosen to love us first. So, Father, help us to get that intimacy right. Lord, at the same time, may we know that you are interested in every fine detail. May we never hide things from you. May we never feel so guilt-ridden and condemned that we can't approach you because you won't be interested in what's going on. But Lord, I pray, may we see that the eyes of the Lord roam around the world, seeking for those that are holy, seeking for those that are hungry for you. And Lord, may we know that you're involved. May we look back upon the years, if we're believers, and see your hand in our lives each and every day. May we never forget the goodness of God throughout our whole life. And Father, may we know that you're involved and may we continue to see your involvement. If we need healing, God, I pray tonight for healing, for life and wholeness. May this church be a place where the sick are healed, where the lost are found. May this church be a place, Jesus, where the living or where the dead come alive and they know that you are our Savior. Lord, we thank you for all that you are, that you're our Abba Father, our King. Our daddy, in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I'd just like to say, you know, if you're not a Christian, then maybe speak to someone that you know that maybe that you've come with this evening, or speak to one of the leaders here tonight about what it is to be a Christian and get on that journey. I'm sure the church offers out various different ways of being able to know more about Jesus and be able to know more about what it is to be a Christian. And because it'll be the best decision that we ever make. And certainly has been for me and probably many people in here. And our life is defined by our decisions. And so, thank you very much for listening. I pray and hope that God has spoken to you, encouraged you. And maybe I'll see you again sometime soon. But otherwise, I'll hand back over to Sam. Thank you.